Okay. I have a little bag of tricks over here, so. Okay, so. It was very interesting sitting in the chair that Pastor Barry usually sits in, because first Hudson came over and kind of stared at me like, what are you doing? But then the kids that weren't even related to Pastor Barry, little toddlers came over, and suddenly the toddlers gave me all imposter syndrome. So fortunately I have my own crew of toddlers around here, so they came over and validated me a little bit. But I'm Robert Harris. I want to thank you for being here today. You know, I was going to say you could be anywhere, but that's really not true. You know, people always say, oh, you could be anywhere today. Could you be on Mars today, or could you be in the North Pole today? No, you couldn't. But I'm sorry, that's my last just digression. I'll stay on topic from now on. Although psychologists say that digressions are actually healthy because they provide, I'm doing it again. Anyway, some of you know me as the guy who's been leading the summer Bible study, the men's Bible study, for the last few years. And maybe you're thinking, well, how's this gonna go? We have this multi-generational service. We've got toddlers here and grade schoolers and middle schoolers and high schoolers, you know? So here's the Bible that we use for the men's study. And if one of you young people, pay attention, sit up. If you could just start reading from chapter 1, we'll go ahead and get started. No, I think we'll use something a little more updated. So don't worry. Do not worry. And the real reason that you don't have to worry today is because guess what? Everyone needs to say what. When someone says guess what, the answer is what? Thank you, yeah. Now, I know you're not used to it in like Pinstagram or TikTok or whatever those things are. It doesn't work. But if you say what back in real life or IRL, people can actually hear the what. So it's awesome. Anyway, I used to be a youth leader. I know you can't see it. And maybe this will help. Here's a couple of pictures of me from back in my youth leader days, if we could show those. This was in the late 90s. We had a great time with the whole church at the skate park that day, and the kids were really impressed. And then later in the early 2000s, you know, a lot of the kids were, we can show the next one, a lot of the kids were into hip hop, and, you know, we kind of, you know, we were just keeping it real. And so you may not have seen me as a youth leader, but now can you see it? I think the problem might be that you can't unsee it, right? But anyway, we'll go ahead and get started. Every month, we talk about a fruit of the Spirit. And this month, we're going to talk about love. And guess what? Thank you. I'm going to prove to you by the end of this message that love is the best fruit of the Spirit. Like, I can't believe that no one else covered this yet, because this is the very best one. So we're going to start with a question. What is the most popular flower in the United States? Someone yell at the most popular flower. What?
Tulip.
Tulip? Okay, I don't think so. No. Anyone else? What?
Roses.
No, not roses. Anyone else? Marriott? What? No. The most popular flower in the United States is wheat flour. It's more popular than tulips or roses. It's wheat flour. You know? And you know what? Well, those are just decorations of flowers on there. But the reason wheat flour is so popular is because you can make so many things with it. You can make tortillas. You can make cookies. This is the main, you can even make Play-Doh. You can make Play-Doh. Did you guys know that? You can make Play-Doh with wheat flour. It's the main ingredient in Play-Doh. So that brings us back to love and the fruit of the Spirit, because love is the wheat flour of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at this list of the other fruit of the Spirit from the book of Galatians, where it's all listed out. We have joy, we have peace, we have patience, we have kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. But did you know that in another letter of the Bible, in another one of the books of the Bible, it gives us the definition of love? We're going to leave the list up here. I need to ask you guys a question. What is the first sign of love? It's this. And I have 8 of them. So what I need a couple of volunteers to come up here and help me with these signs. Who wants to help? Okay, come on up, Tyson. And come on up. Yeah, okay. Okay, so I want you to hold this way. All right, you guys wait in line. And I want you to, on the count of three, I want you to turn it around. Love, turn it around, rejoices in the truth. So what does that match up onto our fruit list? Think about that. What do you have to rejoice? You have to have joy, right? So rejoices in the fruit. Okay, go ahead and give me that back. Thanks, Tyson. Someone else, next one. Love, what's that? It keeps no record of being wronged. Is that the right one? It keeps no record of being wrong. Hold up so people can see. And it does not demand its own way. So that sounds like somebody who what? It sounds like someone who is committed to peace, right? Yeah, so love is actually part of the, peace is part of the definition of love. We have another one. Hi, Benji. You look really excited about this, all right? All right, on the count of three, turn it around. Okay, hold it up high. It's patient and it endures through every circumstance. Which fruit of the Spirit does that match up to? Can anyone guess? It's right there in the Word, right? Turn it the other way so people can see. It's patience. It's patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, we have one more. Oh, go on, Benji. Here you go. Oops. There you go. What's that say? Okay, who wants to venture a guess to which fruit of the Spirit? Don't be afraid to getting it wrong. Go ahead. You are a genius. It took me like 2 years of Bible study to match that up. That's amazing. But love is kind. Yeah, so it's right there in the fruit of the Spirit. What you got? All right. Love is always hopeful. Love does not rejoice about injustice. Now that matches goodness, and I'll tell you why, because goodness is a really interesting word. It only appears a few times in the Bible and nowhere else, and it actually means being steady in doing the right thing and thinking the right thing. It's a very big word, and that's why that matches that. Let's do the next one. What you got? Ready? Congratulations on your promotion. Love, what do you got? Love, it never gives up. And it never loses faith. So what is faith? Exactly right. Good job. All right. Two more. Okay. Wow. Look at this little guy. Hey, good to see you up here. Come on over, little guy, so people can see you. Okay, you guys, you ready to turn around? One, two, three. Oh, don't touch those cookies. Love is, what's that say? Is not boastful or not proud or not rude. So that sounds a lot like gentleness, right? If it's not those things, that's gentleness. All right, one last one. Ready? One, two, three. Turn it around. Okay. Love is not irritable. It's not jealous. Well, that takes a lot of self-control, doesn't it? Yeah, so self-control. So let's go ahead and look at it all together on the screen. If you look at it all together on the screen, look at this. Thank you, kids. Yeah, thank you very much. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So love is the wheat flour. It's the main ingredient in all of the fruit of the Spirit. All the other fruit of the Spirit are made from love. So the question is, if that's the case, why does it even list all the other fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians? Why doesn't it just say, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. See my other letter for a definition of love. It could just do that, right? But the problem is, here's a problem. I need to ask you guys something. I have stuff in my bag. Who likes cupcakes? You got cupcakes? Here you go. Here, you can take this. It's the main ingredient in cupcakes. Enjoy it. Okay. Who likes King's Hawaiian bread? I love King's Hawaiian bread. You like? Okay, here you go. This is the main ingredient in King's Hawaiian bread. There you go. Now, don't eat too much because remember, we're going to have a potluck after service. Okay. So what's wrong with what I'm doing there? What is wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that that's the main ingredient, right? But it hasn't been made into anything yet. It's not anything. And love is the same way. I can tell you something. I can tell you, I love you, Tyson. Go play in traffic and try and outrun the cars. And that doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, it's not showing love. Or I can tell you, I love you and I want to steal all your money. You know, and that's not love. Love doesn't become anything until it's applied somewhere, and that's where the fruit of the Spirit come in. So that's the reason that love is the best fruit of the Spirit, but it needs to be applied to the other fruit of the Spirit in order to be tangible. It has to be made into something. So on to the next reason that love is the best fruit of the Spirit, and that's God's law. Now, I think that Riley volunteered to come up and help me with this here. No, I'm going. Okay. Is that it? Is this it? Here you go. This is Riley, everyone. Come stand closer here. Okay, so Riley, we're going to have a next month's picnic is going to be the best picnic we've ever had. It's going to have food trucks. Does that sound fun? It's going to have so many food trucks that you won't even have to wait in line. And it's going to have games, and everything's going to be free. And you know what? There's a couple of games. If you play them, you'll actually get school credit for them. Do you want to go?
No.
You don't want to go?
No.
I need another volunteer. I need another volunteer. Okay. Do you need to go? You need to say you want to go.
I want to go.
She wants to go. Okay. All you have to do is be good. Do you think you can be good for a month? Okay, so what I need you to do is I need you to take these scrolls, and I need you to not break any of the rules on those scrolls, okay? Okay? And if you know what'll help. These help explain the scrolls a little bit. So take that, yeah, take that. That'll help explain the scrolls a little bit in case you have any confusion about what they mean. And if you break any of the scrolls, this book, you should memorize that book. Just to be sure, make sure you memorize that book before next month. And this book will help you if you think you broke some of the rules on the scrolls, but you have to learn all these things, okay? So hopefully we'll see you at the picnic next month, okay? If you can keep all those rules. So, okay, enjoy. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Better get to work. Let's give Riley a hand. Now, that sounds silly, but before Jesus came, that's how it was with God's law. They had 10 commandments, the scrolls, and then they had all kinds of other laws. And people tried so hard to follow the rules, and they couldn't because sometimes when they were following one rule, they ended up breaking some other rule. Like we have this guy here, you know, oh, my goat fell down in the ditch. I'd better help it out. But wait a minute, it's the Sabbath, and we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. That seems like pretty hard work getting the goat out, so what am I supposed to do? You know, and sometimes they would just give up. It was so hard to follow the laws, they would just give up. And then other people who were teachers of the law would come up with all kinds of complicated rules to explain the other rules, like this guy here saying, paragraph 3, section 82, if you swear by the temple, you have to keep your promise, but if you swear by the stairs of the temple, it doesn't mean anything. You can do whatever you want. And they actually came up with laws like that. That's real Bible history. They came up with all kinds of different ways to interpret the laws. So when Jesus came along, they were arguing about all these different laws, which were more important than the others. And guess what? Guess what? Jesus told them this. He said, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So, isn't that interesting? It was always love. It was love with the fruit of the Spirit. It's all based on love. That's the main ingredient. And the entire law was actually based on loving God and loving people. So have I proven yet that love is still the best fruit of the Spirit? Have I proven it? Okay. Well, guess what? There's more. Just like a TV ad. Wait, there's more. Look at this picture. Okay. I need some help here. Naming the letters. Which one of these is the police officer?
E.
E, right. Very good. Which one is the doctor? Okay. That's right. Which one is the rapper? C, right. Okay. Which one is the follower of Jesus? You can't tell. From the clothes they have put on, you can tell that they're a farmer, a construction worker, a rapper, a doctor, and a policeman, but what they have on doesn't tell you which one is a follower of Jesus, right? Now, when Jesus was on earth, people knew, you know how people knew who his followers were when he was on earth? They were following him, right? They were following him around and listening to him and nodding and doing what he told them to get. So it was really easy to tell who were Jesus' followers, but he knew that he was going to leave. And when he left him, Jesus told them this. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So love is what we put on to show that we are followers of Jesus, to show that we are Christians. So let's talk about the things that we covered. The first is that love is the main ingredient in all of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is where love shows up. It's where it actually is applied. So that's why those are important. Jesus said all the commandments are based on love, and love is how people know that we follow Jesus. So here's the thing that we want to make sure we don't do. We want to make sure that we don't make the fruit of the Spirit into a to-do list. Because otherwise, what are we doing? We're just following rules again. So look at these people. Look at this poor guy. This guy actually paid extra to go to Fiji. He waited until May. It was going to be cheaper in March, but that's the rainy season, so he waited till May to go to Fiji. And he's sitting there, and he's saying, "I'd better have joy on this crummy vacation. God wants me to have joy." And he's just sitting there trying to enjoy his vacation in Fiji. I bet there's stuff he could do, but still. Look at this next lady. Look at this. Rachel will just not be quiet. Rachel just talks about the most unimportant things, and she's saying, "I must have patience with this awful person." And why does she do her makeup like the Joker? That's what I want to know. Anyway, now this next guy is the worst. I can really relate to this next guy. He's so tight that he's actually become a robot. He has literally become a robot. And he sits there saying, "I must have self-control. I must have self-control. Do not react." And he's become a robot just from being so tense and trying so hard to exercise self-control. So what is wrong with this is that eventually, kapow, you know, we explode. And then we start saying things and yelling and getting mad and doing all kinds of things. And then we feel really guilty. And you know why? Because we saw joy and peace and patience and kindness and faith and gentleness and self-control. We saw all those things as just a list of rules. And we were never walking in love. We were just following rules. And just like the law, see, thou shalt not have joy, thou shalt have peace. It's just a whole new laundry list of things to follow. And just like the law, some people might just be tempted to just give up. You know, forget about it. It's too hard. So, you know, sometimes I've worked with people where it was very, very difficult. Those comic characters, I've been every one of those characters, honestly, at work. And I've been through all those things. And I've worked to control myself and not lose my cool a lot of times. And sometimes I was successful. But it still takes a toll on you. Things stay with you, and they take all your joy. And then what happens? You feel guilty because you don't have any joy, right? Because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can't check it off your list as something you're accomplishing. I can remember one time, I got to shout out to my wife, Arlene, because I mentioned this before in Catalyst Stories. Arlene, my wife, prays for things that are ridiculously out of her league. I mean, things that are like worth a lot of money and history changing and stuff. Sometimes really big things I'll tell her about when I'm thinking, you don't even understand the technology I'm talking about. You have no idea what a big deal this is and how impossible it is to change it, but God will come through. And I think I need to learn from that. I need to learn that, you know, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know that God is bigger than all those things. Because one time I had a very bad work situation where there was a very expensive project and it actually failed. I'm talking millions of dollars project. And it wasn't my fault, but there were actually people who thought that it was. But this time I actually was able to really give it to God. And after a few days, God told me, he said, "There is nothing happening to you right now that I can't turn into a blessing." That's what I heard him say. "There is nothing happening to you right now that I can't turn into a blessing." And you think about it, he came through. He did come through. He turned around the whole situation, both the technology part and the reputation part and the financial part. He turned it all around. And if we lean on our own willpower, God is still good. If you lean on your own understanding, God's still good. And a lot of times things will work out. but you will never know what you missed. What blessing did God have for you in that situation if you were able to rely on him instead of trying to fix it yourself ahead of time? Or what did he want to tell you if you were just willing to listen instead of sitting there trying to solve the puzzle yourself? So I feel like I've created kind of a problem here, and that's that I've made this a little hard to understand. First, I've told you that love doesn't mean anything until it shows up, right? We had the flower sacks, and until it's turned into something that we call the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't mean anything. But then we also need to avoid making this list of rules, you know, that and turning it into a whole new kind of law. So it all sounds really abstract, and how do you actually apply this? Well, guess what? Thank you. The Bible tells us how to walk in love. Isn't that awesome? It actually gives us the instructions. Here's another one of the letters to the churches, and it tells us right there. It says, imitate God in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. So we walk in love not out of our own willpower, but because of what we know. And the first thing we know, it says right there, it says, because you are his dear children, you know that you belong to him. That's because of the because in this verse. You are his dear children. It doesn't leave you without a way to do it. Now, kids love to imitate their parents. Whatever words you parents say will end up in your kids' vocabulary and mannerisms that you have. I remember when Tyson, before Tyson was even able to talk, he used to have this habit. He'd blow on everyone's coffee. If he saw someone's coffee cup, he would blow on it. And he wasn't spending a lot of time in coffee houses yet, so I suspect he probably got it from his parents. So here's the thing. When it says to imitate God, we don't have to stress. We don't have to say, oh, great, how do I create heaven and earth, and how do I be perfect? No, that imitation will actually happen naturally because you are his child. Now, here's another thing it also tells us. It tells us, for you are all children of the light. Don't you like that? Children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So you know that if you belong to Jesus, you are a child of light. But this is what's also important. It also tells us what we don't belong to. We don't belong to darkness and night. This is just part of identifying as God's child. Now, kids, I hope you answer this question right. If you're listening, do you listen to your parents or do you listen to strangers?
Parents.
Parents, thank you. Whew, that was a tough call. No. Okay, so think of sin and bad thoughts the same way. And when you hear them, you say, hey, that's not my dad. So if someone says, like, aren't you mad that Jeffrey has a nicer house than you? You can say, who's that talking? That's not my dad. My dad doesn't want me to be jealous. Or if some voice tells you, don't tell anyone you broke it, they'll never know. You can say, my dad wants me to rejoice in the truth. That's not my dad, right? So anytime, let's hear that. So think of a bad thought, and then I want you guys to say, that's not my dad. Thank you. Okay, so the second reason we walk in love is because we know how much he loves us. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. So look at this. This was written by John, who was actually known as the disciple that Jesus loved. And it says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So it is all in what you know. It's not in what you're trying to do with your willpower, because that's just following rules. And then the fruit of the Spirit just starts growing because you know these things, because you belong, because you know that God loves you. Now, here's something that's really, really important, and that's that you really have to believe these things. It's not just an automatic thing. So I'll ask you a question. Yes or no, am I standing here? Am I standing here? Yeah. I'm going to feel like running off and going, no, I'm not. But no, I'm not going to, no more tricks. Okay, I'm standing here. You can say yes to that. Do you believe that there's food waiting for us after service? Yeah, you do. So if you really believe something, it's not hard to say. So when it says, you know, confess, it's not hard to say something that you really believe. You put your trust in it. Of all the people who said yes to the food, did all of you see food after service? I don't think all of you did. You're putting your trust in it because you just know it's there. And it's the same thing with God. We have to put our trust in what God did for us, the sacrifice he made to be his children. The Bible tells us that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and the openly declare part doesn't need to be, it's just something that should be natural if you really believe something. That's why it's just an automatic thing, just like you believe I'm standing here. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So I hope that anyone watching or anyone here who hasn't trusted in the gift of salvation from God, that you do that. Because Jesus said, he said that he was the vine and we are the branches. And you know what? If the branch is not connected to the vine, it won't grow fruit. All this stuff with the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't matter if you're not connected to the branch of this Jesus, because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. If you feel disconnected, you can come up during the worship time. We will have a ministry time, and someone from the prayer team will pray with you. And I encourage you today to come up if you just need a blessing or you need healing. We don't have to wait for things to be really hard to embrace being God's child. You know, my grandkids that know me ran up to me today. Didn't wait until they had some difficult problem. That's the heart that God wants us to have towards him. We can just come up for a blessing and just to see what he's going to do, because God loves you so much and wants you to bless you more than you can humanly possibly imagine. So we'll go ahead and have the worship team come up, and I will pray, and we will go into worship again. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you are so full of love for us. We thank you, God, that though you are perfect, you have provided a way for us to follow you, Lord, that we can respond in love, that you have found a way to make us your children and to grow those fruits in us, God, to grow them naturally, Lord, in a way that we never possibly could on our own human will, Lord. We thank you, God, that you've loved us so much, and we look forward to all the blessings that you have for us. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.